And it finished 2-0 Portugal over Uruguay this morning. Brazil beating Switzerland 1-0. Ghana beating South Korea 3-2. Cameroon and Serbia finished 3-3 very late last night. Lots of texts on your keeping situation, Clarkey. Goalies right-footed, so generally jump off their right. Clarkey, we aren't like these world-class footballers. They can put the ball where they want, especially that close to goal.
There's a hint of sarcasm in my coaching ability as well when it comes to anything to do
no.
with football.
Yeah. I thought you meant it.
Yeah, so just go easy on me.
Can't wait for tomorrow's Daily Mail story. Daly and Clark think they know penalties better than world-class keepers.
Yes.
Boys, you have to wait until the keeper makes the first move. And if if you have half a brain to be a goalkeeper, you deserve to get beat.
Okay,
right. Jess from Liverpool sending that one through. Yeah. Boys, the keeper may have been told to go easy on Clarky.
No.
And let him score.
That was definitely a setup. I told the keeper at the event I went to on Friday night to look after me. Don't worry about that. It was all set up.
Another one here, Sean from Penrith. That is why Roberto Carlos was the best penalty taker of all time. Not many hit the ball harder. Hoping to speak to Archie Thompson shortly. Phil Moss, who was just at that Portugal-Uruguay game. We'll speak to him in half an hour's time as well. As we count down within 48 hours, it is the Socceroos in Denmark and pubs showing that match in New South Wales. Allowed to stay open until 5 a.m. There's a way to start your Thursday in a pub until 5 a.m. watching the Socceroos up against Denmark. And the French sports publication L'Equipe reporting that France may make up to 6 changes for their match against Tunisia as well. Now, the matches are going to be played at the same time on Thursday morning. So France-Tunisia, Socceroos-Denmark, both at 2 a.m. our time. So it's going to be a nervy 90 minutes to say the least, and lucky enough to be joined now by former Socceroo Melbourne Victory great Archie Thompson. Archie, a very good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
What changed as you watched that game on Saturday night from the France to Tunisia performance and mindset and tactically? What did you see change and unfolding?
I think they kind of just kept the same sort of mindset in let's start well, and they did that. I probably would say that Tunisia really underperformed in that one, because if you saw the match against Denmark, they were passing the ball with ease. They actually looked like Barcelona, to be honest, the way that they were playing. And then all of a sudden they turn up against the Socceroos, and maybe they thought, okay, this is going to be a walkover considering the first match that Socceroos played against France. And they were rudely awakened by a team that was disciplined, structured, and really started well, took their opportunity and defended it incredible. Like Souttar, my son's obviously on Instagram quite a bit, aren't we all, to be honest? And Souttar makes this amazing tackle, and it's like one of these memes that keep popping up all the time. And that was it, the sort of that last gasp defending or just disciplined. And it's hard to obviously come back from a big loss, low in confidence, but we don't see what happens, I guess, within the group and what they talk about, what the belief is. And you know what? They'd probably draw off a lot of that energy, which they would have seen in Fed Square. I don't know if it's in Sydney at all, but Fed Square, for whatever reason, here in Melbourne, whenever a Socceroo game is on and it's important, especially World Cup, they go absolutely off. And so, you know, you take those kind of that energy and then you lead it into the next game, because that's the important one against Denmark. It's how we turn up for that one.
Sorry, Arch. With the Socceroos, it always seems, mate, that when their backs are against the wall, that's where we give our best performance. And, you know, when Arnie's been criticised and, you know, people want him out and criticise his tactics, they always seem to rally for him and they rally together. Is that the way you see it as well?
I will say, and I feel like I'm on repeat with this, is that we played the best football nation, one of the best football nations in the world. Like, it was really like, I might have said this before, stepping in the ring with Mike Tyson as an amateur boxer And that's no disrespect to the Socceroos. It was, that's just what the level is. They're incredible. It's a once-in-a-lifetime generation group of footballers, which were only going to get better because they won it with a young team in Russia. They're going to get better and more experienced, and that's where they're at now, even missing four or five players. So I think we've got to take that into respect. And then and then also, it's like, it is that mentality. And I've been around a lot of Socceroo teams. Whenever there has been some criticism or lack of confidence within the group or even with fans not really expecting much from us, it's just something about that when you're in that tight-knit group, in an environment where you're like, you just want to do well for yourself, for your teammates. And there would have been a lot of conversation, motivation, you know, those sort of team environments when you're leading into a big game. And if you underperform, you know, quickly to try to get rid of those negative thoughts and let's go and try and do something, which we already knew that that was going to be the case. We knew that we weren't going to get a result, maybe. Well, if we had got a good result against France, unbelievable. That would have been our World Cup, to be honest. And then, you know, we played Tunisia where we were a realistic chance to get a win, and we did. And now it's against a very good Danish team. Mm. So they've got nothing to lose. Their fate is in their hands, their own hands, which you want coming into your last game of the group stage. You don't want to be relying on anyone else. And they've put themselves in a really good position. And Graham Arnold's great. Like, you know, I've worked under him. I know what he's like in trying to keep a really calm group, still kind of instilling that confidence and belief. And yeah, and he's been around that team environment long enough and worked with some of the best to get the best out of the players. So, I mean, the guy wouldn't be coaching Australia if he didn't have the CV or wasn't capable of it. So... it's again just keeping to what we know and keeping it balanced. I feel like sometimes too we might drift into that negative part of the game where you just defend, but that's purely because the opposition's trying to get back into the game too. So there's so many different elements to it, but I'm so happy to see the boys do well. And you know, and this just shows how fickle sport is. Like, there were so many people that were criticising, giving the state of football, which is, you know, surely it needs that too. But how quickly they could jump back on that bandwagon is so funny to watch, especially from the outside.
Arch, is it realistic that we can beat Denmark?
Well, we've got to have a bit of hope, right? I think last time I might have said I felt like I was giving a gospel sermon where it's like, we've got to have hope, we've got to have faith, which we need to. Like, it's whatever higher power, universe, whoever you believe in or pray to it, because we're going to need it. We're absolutely going to need it, because that Danish side are really, really good. They took it to the French team and you know, France scored a late goal. I mean, okay, they had enough chances to really seal that, but they're going to be great, and they know that they need to win that. So you've got two teams that kind of have to win, or at least, well, Australia could get a draw, but that they'd probably need a win. So it's going to be end-to-end. It's whoever really settles early into a game with all that pressure that's going to be on their shoulders. And I think that's what they need to do. And they've got the belief again and support with the Socceroos. And fans, Socceroo fans, and the Australian public. So it's going to be a good one. I'm really looking forward to it.
We're speaking with Archie Thompson. And Archie, we debated for, 3 days what changes Graham Arnold would make. He only made one injury and force change heading into that match against Tunisia. What changes can you see him making for this match? Are there tired legs that maybe need to maybe go back to the bench and inject some fresher legs straight from the start? Or do you think he'll keep the faith?
Oh, well, I think keep the faith. It's like, why sort of fix something that isn't broken? And the only thing that really would be is that there may be a few niggling injuries or, you know, maybe fatigue. But I know we've all you've been in these positions where you find that bit of energy if you need it to, because it's like a World Cup and it's an opportunity to create a bit of history where we can go through and be the first Socceroo team to win two games in a World Cup. And, and you know, that would really equal that the efforts of that 2016, without a doubt. So I don't think there'd be too many changes. Like I said, if there's kind of niggles or maybe fatigue setting in, but you seem to lift. You find that energy. And the way sport is now, like the way they recover, how they get the best out of players to get that peak performance. I tell you what, I wish it was around when I was playing, but you know, it's amazing what they can do, and it's a World Cup. You find that energy.
Yeah, and at a World Cup, opportunities present themselves. And you mentioned Harry Suter before, Arch. Mm. I mean, his performance in that second game was outstanding. There's now talk that, you know, he may get picked up by a Premier League side. If he has another big game, do you think he's headed for the Premier League?
Oh, well, look, there was talk about him early on, before the World Cup, about maybe moving to a possible Premier League team. And this is what the World Cup does. It opens the window for some of these players to step into the bigger leagues. I mean, like I said before, it's Timmy Cahill. So, like, that kind of really thrusted him into the Premier League. And that's what's going to happen with these guys if they, like, put another good performance on. And, you know, I think Craig Goodwin, for instance, been fantastic. Like, he just seems so composed out there on the big stage. And there's not too many times he gives the ball away, and his way to pass is, like, you know, if you're someone that really knows the game and watches these finer details, he's just crisp. I mean, he doesn't have electric speed like Mbappe or Dembele. Like, you know, he's to be honest, he's probably the Datsun version of a Mercedes in terms of the speed, but the quality is still there. So, look, I mean, he's in his 30s. There's a possibility for him to move. And who knows who gets that opportunity that comes on off the bench. I mean, you've got a Marco Tilio. Okay, he probably hasn't looked like getting a side on stepping onto that pitch, but there's a lot of players that can make that impact. Quall, I know, is at Newcastle, still a young boy that can make an impact. I don't know if he'll use a lot of those youngsters. Hopefully he does, because they just give a bit of energy and X factor. He might lean to more of the experienced players when it might need time, but this is a shop window. This is an opportunity to really take your career to another level and be part of football history here in Australia, because, like I said, we haven't won two games in... we've only won three games in a World Cup. These are the opportunity for these guys to win two and progress. So already they're creating history.
All right, Archie, before you go, a prediction. What will the score be? Australia v Denmark, Thursday morning.
Oh, Denmark are going to smack them. No, I always say that. It's a tasteless joke, but I will have to say the soccer is going to win this one. And I've said it before, I don't care what happens, if it's an own goal or a tap-in, or even if Matty Ryan scores, I don't care. If it's 1-0, it's 1-0, and I'm happy.
1-0 do us, that's for sure, mate. Really appreciate your time, as always, and enjoy what will be a great occasion Thursday morning.
Cheers, boys. Thank you. Enjoy it, too.
Now, Dicko's given an early Christmas present to those who had Ronaldo as first goal scorer in the game between Portugal and Uruguay this morning. Tab has paid on Ronaldo being first goal scorer and any time goal scorer, including in same game multis.
I thought he didn't
even
score,
that. Well, he didn't. He just missed touching the ball. It was given to Bruno Fernandes, his now former Manchester United teammate, but Tab has paid out on Ronaldo.
What?
Oh, look, Dicko is giving. He's a giving man.
Listen, lovely. Christmas absolutely season. Love us. Lovely. But hang on. Isn't that black or white? Did he score or did he not score?
Well,
I'm not complaining. I'm going Dicko legend, but what if we had the goalie to score the first goal? Is he going to say, okay, we'll give it to them. We'll give it to him then?
Well, the difference being, obviously, that Cristiano Ronaldo has been heavily backed in all those markets, and it looks like he scored. Even SBS gave him the goal on the graphic. At the bottom of the screen, or they'd be using
close
FIFA
enough
graphics.
Is not good
so
enough.
So FIFA initially thought he scored the goal.
Close enough is not good enough.
But on second glance, it was Bruno Fernandes.
Anyway,
so
thanks, Dicko. Well played.
A win for the punters.
Okay.
There, Clarky.
Oh, he's a generous man, Dicko.
Very generous. Dicko. Got too much.
Well, his bonus must be big.
Exactly
at the
right.
Moment.
Cha-ching.
If he's handing out bonuses like this.
Throwing it away, Loz.
Throwing it away. Pouring down with money.
Just to mention here too as well, on the text line, there's a fundraiser this weekend for those in the area at the Adelaide Hotel in Maruya. In Maruya there for Tane Woodford, who on the text line saying a young rugby league player from South Sydney who's been diagnosed with a rare form of testicular cancer, and a fundraiser there for people who want to get involved at the Adelaide Hotel in Maruya for young Tane Woodford. We've got Trent on the line. G'day, Trent.
Good morning, boys. How are we going?
Yeah, good, mate. Enjoying good. It all?
Oh, mate, lacking sleep, but getting through it. So it's, it's been a good tournament so far. So let's hope the Germans mid-air can get through, mate. Our tips are struggling at the minute.
Oh, yeah, with the Quinella. Yeah, they've been disappointing, haven't they?
But, mate, before I get on to agreeing with Loz, hey, pup, I'm running the keeper session tomorrow night. I might need your help.
Mate, see, did you hear what I said earlier?
Yeah, you're not far off, actually.
There you go. Now we're talking. Thank you, buddy.
Mate,
there's a future there for me.
Well, yeah, let's just see how you go. Look, it's all about their body position when they hit it, right?
Okay.
So what I try and teach them is if they're a right footer,
yep.
if their left shoulder's leaning in,
yeah,
they're going to the keeper's right. If their left shoulder opens up, they're going to the keeper's left.
Okay.
So it's all about their shoulder position. So, and you've got to stay upright as much as you can, but you're not far off. I hate to say it, you're not far off. So, you know, it's like you're feeling in second slip, mate, that you've got to fight for a soccer ball rather than a red kookaburra.
I love it.
But, mate, I'll give you the details. I'll give them to Cognac and the boys, and you can sort that out later.
Come and do mentoring session, mate. Coaching session.
Absolutely. Love but, it, hey, Loz, I've got a simple solution for the Origin Origin fiasco.
Yes, give it to me.
Very simple. When they're 16, 17... Right, they're showing a bit of talent, or they saw in their first NRL contract,
yep,
they have a decision to make. They either make themselves available for Australia, or they make themselves available for the nation of their heritage, and they don't play Origin. It's as simple as that. I mean, I'm a big believer in what you're saying. I'm a big believer in what you're saying, and it works in FIFA, right?
Mm.
You pick a nation, that's it. You know, you have a little bit of leeway in your youth, but as soon as you play your first senior game, that's it. No chopping and changing.
Yeah, I'd have to hear from a lot of people to change my mind on this. I'm pretty stubborn at the best of times. But for me, I just see it as a pathway Origin to play for Australia. And it's great that these other players at the moment wanting to play for their nation of heritage. I think it's tremendous. I think it's done a lot for the international game. I'm trying to work out the best way we can have it so that they don't miss out on playing representative football as well. But I think you've just got to make the international scene a lot stronger and play more games for them to have the opportunity of representing their country. But again, it's an issue that a lot of people have got different opinions on. And for me, I'm happy to hear everyone's opinion, but I'm pretty sort of stubborn when it comes to eligibility rules. And again, I just get back to it being a pathway for players playing for Australia. And I like what you just said.
Beautiful. That's a first.
Yeah, we don't agree too much on a lot of things, Trent. But no.
I'll take it on board. Enjoy the rest of your day, boys. Take it easy.
Good on you, Trent. And Dicko also points out that they paid out, obviously, as Dicko says, the other guy too, Bruno Fernandes. So, Ronaldo or Fernandes, if you backed him in the first goal scorer market in your same game multis, you paid out for that. The Sydney Kings beaten last night, 94-88 by Cairns. So that's their first loss on the road for a very long time. Their winning streak on the road had got to 17 games in the NBL, but last night it came to an end, 94-88. And the Taipans, they trial by 8 with just over 3 minutes left as well, have managed to claw their way back to that 6-point victory. In the World Cup, Portugal beat Uruguay 2-0 this morning, and we're going to speak to Phil Moss shortly, who was just at that game. Loz, you want to give a shout-out to... Well, one of our listeners has been doing it very, very tough.
Yeah, exactly right, Mido. And I wanted to give Trevor Biskin a big shout-out, who lost his wife to pancreatic cancer last weekend. Now, Trevor's a halfback in the first ever Australian schoolboys team. And some of the names in that team were Les Boyd, Craig Young, and it was coached by the great Roy Masters. Trevor also played some MCO Cup games for Southern Division, had some time in the lower grades at Penrith, and was a handy player of Central Coast Comp. He also played a bit of first grade cricket as well in the same area. He's now playing bowls at the Wyong Bowling Club. And apparently, this is what they tell me, you can still find him afterwards, smack bang in the front of the tab area, blowing up about slow horses and rides from jockeys. So that doesn't change. That doesn't change anywhere you go. But his wife's name was Janine, and they have three amazing daughters. And the funeral is tomorrow at 11:30 at Palmdale Funeral Service. Trevor and a few of his mates were at the Big Sports Brekkie Grand Final lunch. And Trev's been a long time listener of the show. But Trev, from all of us here, mate, and the rugby league community, and the Big Sports Breakfast thoughts are with you and the family. And of course, we hope tomorrow is a fitting celebration and a commemoration of Janine's life.
Yeah, echoing that. It's really, really sad thoughts with you, Trev, and your family for sure. Phil Moss coming up shortly over in Qatar, and we got the first test tomorrow as well. Australia up against the West Indies, just seeing that the Windies have drifted as well today for that match. They're out to $12 now. They were $10, sorry, this morning, out to $12. The draw paying $12. Australia $1.14 into $1.10. And we were speaking about the pitch earlier this morning. Is apparently the curator is going to leave up to 10 mils of grass on the surface to try and stop it from cracking up badly in the heat. So pretty standard Perth conditions forecast for the test over there. And also just saw in rugby some news, a countdown shot clock timer on scrums, lineouts, and kicks of goals could be introduced before the Rugby World Cup next year. It's set to be considered by World Rugby in coming weeks. Well, hallelujah. At long last, World Rugby deciding to do something in the game's interest, provided they rubber stamp it, of course. But that is something that certainly we will be applauded here in the Southern Hemisphere. Surely some people in the Northern Hemisphere as well would understand that that's the way we've got to be going. To put a shot clock timer on scrums, lineouts, and kicks of goal. Too much time is lost. So that'll be one to watch in coming weeks. Evening, Mossy.
Hello, boys. How are you going?
Take us through the Atmos thereafter, or in the stadium and out of the stadium, as Portugal beat Uruguay.
Well, we're just leaving the stadium, and I don't know if you can hear that background noise, but it's going ballistic, and it's the Portuguese that are making all the noise. Amazing game, amazing atmosphere, 89 or 88,000 at an incredible stadium here in Lusail in Qatar, Doha. And we were absolutely privileged. We were sitting six rows behind the goal where Ronaldo and Fernandes scored the two goals in the second half. Very disappointed. I asked Cristiano to do his traditional celebration after the goal, and he didn't. But anyway, we'll take the goal.
What was it like to watch Ronaldo up close, Mossy? What little things you saw that sort of set him apart?
His movement off the ball. I actually said to my son just before he scored, I said, don't watch the ball, just watch his movement off the ball. And it's not just Ronaldo. You think of it, the likes of Fernandes as well, Bernardo Silva, Suarez when he came on. Like these guys, it's... it just, again, highlights the absolute privilege as a nation that we've got to actually be in these World Cup finals, because these guys are they're on a different planet.
Mm. Mossy, you say that, and you've been close enough to this Aussie team as well. Is and I know you're talking about absolute superstars, but is there a significant difference that you can see when you are sitting in the grandstand watching?
Yeah, there is, Clarkie. Yeah. And, if you go back to the golden generation, if you like, with the Harrys and the Badoukas, and those types, then, the difference was a lot less, because they were playing at the top level in the top leagues, Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Bresciano, who I was sitting with tonight, Vince Grella. When you're playing Serie A or Premier League or La Liga every week, then you're going to be a lot closer to the level that we saw tonight. But our players aren't playing at that level. So, there is a massive chasm between what I saw tonight and where our players are. But what we've got going for us, as Arnie's quite rightly pointed out, is that Aussie DNA, never say die. we're in a group that we've given ourselves a chance to get out of now, and that's not because of incredible individual brilliance. It's because we're a team, and you know, we play for each other.
I know there's still a few more rounds to go, and then we get to the quarters, Mossy, and we'll work out who finishes in that final 16 and has the chance to move on and win the World Cup. But what you've seen so far, who's the standout team? And has there been a team that surprised you and the team that sort of disappointed you?
England's disappointed me. I didn't tip them to do all that well, Loz, but I thought they'd do better than what they have. I think they've been very poor in their first two games. They play Wales tomorrow night, I think it is, over here. And, you know, that's all defining for them. If they bow out in that group, then that'll be very disappointing. But, look, Brazil have stood out for me. Just their sheer quality. And we spoke about them before the tournament, who they left out. Firmino, for one, shows how strong they are. But how clinical they are in the top third. They really take their time building up. But once they hit the accelerator, they go. And they go with sheer quality. And I really think they're capable of going all the way. Tite, their coach, has announced that this will be his last World Cup in charge. So I know all Brazilian fans are hoping he goes out holding the trophy.
How do you describe how big this game is between England and Wales? Could you imagine over there in the UK? And yes, that's the 6 a.m. game tomorrow, our time here in Australia. So the same time as the game you just witnessed, Mossy. England $1.45 favourites, Wales $8, the draw $4.25 with tab. How do you see it playing out, Mossy?
Well, it depends how England handle the pressure, I think, because, you know, as you've just said, that the odds and on paper, England should do it comfortably. But the pressure that builds on them at big tournaments when they're not performing and getting the results is quite remarkable. And that is an extra man or two for the opposition. And given that it's Wales, there'll be bragging rights up for grabs as well. And I don't think the Welsh will ever let the English forget if they can get over the top of them. So, look, I think England will get there just. I don't think they're in good enough form to think it'll be a cakewalk, but I think they'll get there by the odd goal.
What about Germany, Mossy? How have you rated their tournament so far? Because they've only had that draw and they came in with high expectation.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, that was one of the big upsets, wasn't it, for the first round? They haven't been convincing, Loz. They should be better than what they're showing at this point. But again, you know, the pressure that comes on these big nations at these big tournaments and then the different conditions over here has certainly thrown the cat amongst the pigeons. So I'd expect better of them, but they've got to produce it. And, you know, you think about Ronaldo, right? And I'll just use him as an example. There was a headline today that he's going to Saudi Arabia for $336 million Aussie dollars for 3 years. And yet he turns up tonight, no matter what the headlines are, turns up tonight and turns it on. And not just the goal, but his overall performance was absolutely outstanding. So that ability to block out all that white noise that the superstars have, like you did, Loz, like you did, Clarkie, that sets him apart.
Is it just his awareness, Mossy, or is it his fitness level that allows him to do it?
Well, it's both, but his awareness, Loz, is frightening. You know, and you know, I don't want to keep harping on about your rugby league career, but you had that ability just to pick your moments and know where the gaps were going to be or know where the runners were going to be, and just once you set your mind to make a difference in a game, it just happens. For the great players, and he was like that tonight. His awareness and movement, like the ball would go down one side of the pitch, he'd run to the furthest point of the other side of the pitch just to time his movement because he knew that phase wasn't for him, but the next phase he was going to be involved, and the next phase after that was going to be a chance on goal.
Just a report over in France that They're set to make up to 6 changes against Tunisia, and that game will be at the same time as the Socceroos-Denmark game. To what extent is there concern about that, Mossy, or is such the depth in the France squad that nothing to worry about and we should expect France to be winning that game?
Well, it's a heart and a head answer to this one, Mido. Let's hope that France have still got enough to get over the top of them. I think they will. I mean, you know, what I saw the other night from Tunisia was their quality was nowhere near France, obviously, but also I think Denmark are a better footballing side than Tunisia as well. They're big, they're strong, they're physical. We matched the fight, we got the result, but I really think France will have too much for them.
Just on an aside note, not sure if you've seen this, Mossy, but there's reports in Europe that Russia considering leaving UEFA and bidding to join the Asian Confederation, which means they obviously potentially play us in the road to World Cups going forward. I can't say that we'd be too happy about that, would we? On many
levels.
No,
that's right. I did see those reports. Yeah, I did see those reports, Mido. And look, I'm not overly surprised. There's not a lot of love out there for Russia at the moment. So not surprised they're trying to keep their options open. But look, there's pretty strict criteria to enter Asia, the Asian Confederation, as we found out when we got in. But I'd be surprised. I'd be very surprised, to be honest, if it happened, particularly given what's going on in the world right now.
All right then, Mossy, what are you doing in the next 48 hours, mate? How are you going to prepare for this Socceroos game?
You won't believe this, Loz, but my son is getting Penny and I up at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's now midnight. It's now 1 a.m. over here. He's getting us up at 4 in 3 hours to go hot air ballooning.
You're kidding.
Oh, you're kidding.
Well, that'll help. You get some fresh air to fall asleep on the hot air balloon.
How will Penny cope with that?
I'm not sure, mate. She's scared of heights and got claustrophobia, so it's not a great combination.
Well, looking forward to the full report on your hot air ballooning experience, Mossy. Thanks so much, mate, as always. And sounds like you had a great night, so appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Dave Stanley coming up shortly. Now in the NFL today, Monday night football in the States, kicking off a 12:15 here. The Indianapolis Colts, $1.67. The Pittsburgh Steelers, $2.20. The line there, 2.5. Colts the minus. Yesterday, Philadelphia 40 beat Green Bay 33 in Sunday night football over in the States. So Philly are now 10-1 on the season, Loz. Looks like they're going to be the top seed in the NFC.
Well, they're a better team than I thought they were, Mido. And obviously Jalen Hurts is having a wonderful season. I see the 49ers had a win yesterday. And they're a team that I think might be able to...
I'm with you.
...to sneak up and cause a few headaches heading into the playoffs, but it's still open in my mind. I still think that, you know, there's still some good teams there. You're looking at, you know, Buffalo 8-3 for the year. If they get it right with Josh Allen, I don't think there's many teams that can stop them. I saw Baltimore get rolled yesterday, so that's a massive loss for them. Kansas City keep rolling on, but yeah, I don't know. I look at Philadelphia. They've got the best record so far. They look as though they're going to finish top seed in the NFC, but I don't know. I'm still not sold on them.
Oh, gee, Jalen Hurts yesterday. He couldn't be stopped. His ability to rush and make yards and get them out of trouble is unbelievable.
What about Tampa Bay? They got beaten again yesterday.
Oh, mate.
And the NFC South.
Yeah, dreadful division.
Dreadful division this year.
Yeah. And one of them has to make the playoffs because you win a division, you're in the playoffs. So anything could still happen there. But I think at this stage, I can see the Eagles and the 49ers playing off in the NFC Championship game to make the Super Bowl. But yeah, a lot to play out. Injuries.
It's amazing though, isn't it, with Garoppolo? Yeah. I mean, if he gets to another Super Bowl, he's a quarterback that's virtually unwanted.
It is a bizarre situation with him. And you wonder if Trey Lance had gone down, whether they'd be in this position. They're young quarterback who started the season, because clearly they're a better side with Garoppolo there. There's no doubt about that.
Well, they are, and they've recruited around Garoppolo too. I mean, McCaffrey would have fitted in with Trey Lance, but he suits Garoppolo for sure.
Well, Dave Stanley, good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, mate. Bit of drama at the offices here. I know you boys have been in the bunker, just you know, analysing the morning sport, the World Cup, but we've got a bit of office drama unfolding.
Fill me in. What's happened?
Well, I want to know your thoughts on this. So someone, it's pretty, I don't know how I feel about it at the moment. Someone has obviously made some tucker last night, brought it into work, put it in the Tupperware container. It's been eaten.
Yeah, nah, unacceptable.
It's been eaten, but the Tupperware container's been washed up and placed in the sink. So someone's knocked off the tucker, knocked off the lunch.
Wow.
Eaten the lunch that was made.
CCTV.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think there's cameras up there. I don't think...
Surely there'd be cameras in the kitchen.
Well, I don't think there is, though, Loss. Are you allowed to have cameras in... I don't know. Like, there's got to be... I don't know.
Well, but you can't have them in the toilet, but you can have them in the kitchen.
But what's going through your mind? What's going through your mind when you open the fridge and then you see, you know, the Tupperware container there of some food, and then you've just gone to the lengths to clean it up as well?
Oh, yeah, that's bad form, isn't it?
That is bad form.
Do we know these people very well?
Well,
do I know them very well?
We don't know. It's a bit like the Garlow's Pie Day, boys. When the pies come on, there's a lot of people that we see that we've never seen in our lives just appear.
Yep. So formal complaint?
Well, this is the thing. What's the process? What would you do, Midday?
Look.
Do you go through? Or do you set a trap?
No.
Someone said set a trap.
Maybe that's a good idea.
Someone said, do you...
would be filthy.
Do you produce do you produce the same food in the same container but then put some sort of trap in it?
I don't think I'd eat other people's food, but if you were going to, it wouldn't be out of, you know, someone's personal Tupperware container.
That's what I mean.
I'd go to the trap again, Dave, and put some wax in it.
What would you be doing, pup?
I'd be knocking on everyone's table. Has it happened now, as in early this morning?
I think it's happened yesterday afternoon.
Okay,
I think it's yesterday afternoon.
This afternoon, I'd be going around knocking on every single table.
But how would you?
Well, I'm going to start with honesty policy.
Right.
And if I don't get that, then I'll have a plan B.
And do you feel you'd be able to, you know, weed it out? You'd be able to go, right, this bloke, would you then narrow it down and go, right, out of these people?
It's not like they've stolen a banana and eaten it. It's a Tupperware container, so they've sat and eaten their food. Somebody else has seen the process.
And I think it might have been
bolognese. Must have been someone on night shift.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Detective Daly, right, eh?
Yeah.
So are we going to walk out of the bunker here and see someone steaming?
So I was up.
Then you look at their shirt, Dave, to see if they've got anything down the front of their shirt.
And I'm wondering, too. Well,
because they would have scoffed it very quickly.
I asked what type of food it was, and it was bolognese. Now, you blokes would know from reheating your spaghetti that there'd be a bit of smell involved with that. So it's not like,
there's definitely a witness.
But again, Dave, if you know that you're eating someone's meal, you're not taking your time.
Oh, so you reckon it's just been just absolutely scoffed?
I reckon you could go around and have a look at people's shirts, the front of their shirts, to see whether there's any stains or anything on there.
Line them up, usual suspects. Yep.
I like it. Well, there you go. There's a bit of drama. There's a bit of drama floating around, boys.
Okay.
So there you go.
We'll report back tomorrow.
We will.